Hello again, you're welcome back to another episode of Kolavari Work Series. This is a podcast that is dedicated to exploring the interesting world of work. Okay, so this is the second part of a series that we started talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and the future of work. And in the first part, so much Aziz, Laolu, and Danny had for us. And in this second part, we will actually be focused. In the first part, I think we focused on AI and the impact on individuals. And in this second part, we'll be focusing on the societal impact of AI. Aziz is here as always. Hi, Aziz.
Hi, Zika.
How are you doing? I'm great. Okay, so do you want to give us a quick summary of the first part before we go ahead into...
Again, so my concern with AI, I agree AI could be impactful on the positive side. I agree AI can transform lots of sectors, educational sector, health sector. Okay. However, we are entering into an unprecedented and a disruptive era.
Yeah.
That's one. But also, my concern is that we are dealing with something we do not fully understand. It's also a concern. So, as individuals and as a nation, you know, that caution for me is important to allow us put the required safety nets and the structures that would allow us to get the best out of AI. That's really, for me, I think it's what's important.
Thank you. In the first part, while Danny and Laolu spoke, they mentioned a phrase that you have actually been talking about, disruptive and unprecedented. That's the society that we're coming into. Yeah. So how do you think AI will actually disrupt the society?
So you remember the focus is AI and the future of work.
Yes.
Work is a subset of the society. That's what it is. So whatever happens at the workplace, it's even as individuals, whatever happens to you as an employee at work, you take that home.
Yes.
It affects your mood, it affects your family, your
feelings, everything. You
understand? So you cannot separate the two. So if we agree that we would have disruption in the workplace, what you are saying is that you would have disruption in the society.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's that straightforward. So we agree that AI would impact healthcare, energy sector. We agree. But we are saying there are also going to be disruptions to other areas that we need to be concerned about. And the reason we are saying this is because we've looked at what has happened before in the past in other areas, you understand? And we see how those things affected us. So we are saying we can learn from that as well. You understand? So whatever happens to the individual, which is the workplace, we know that it would also affect the whole, which is the society.
You said we've seen how these things happen in the past. So please, can you join and give us examples and explain more?
Yeah, I'll use two examples. The first one is globalization and social media. So in the 80s, the 90s, and even up to now, globalization really meant opening of borders. People could trade with different countries. A lot of the insular policies that countries had were basically kind of like lowered or dropped so that there was more trade between countries. And the impact was profound, you understand? There was increased trade, increased investment, job creation in many countries, things like outsourcing and all that, that's where it came from. However, at the same time, there was increased income inequality. There was loss of cultural identity. There was disruption of traditional community structures and environmental degradation. My view, the current populist wave that we are experiencing in governments in Europe and America and in Asia, I think is a direct consequence of globalization. So even though we benefited from it,
it came with its own,
there were societal consequences. Now, so let's look at social media. Again, social media was introduced with a lot of fanfare, benefits, you know, promising connection networking, between people, networking, you understand, friends that you've not spoken with for a long time. Beautiful. But at the same time, consequences that we're experiencing now. Mental health concerns, unrealistic comparison, low self-esteem and anxiety. They never told us of these consequences when...
When it came.
They never, or these consequences were never at the forefront so that people could make right choices. People started understanding the impact years after when we're seeing the impact on people. For example, teenagers. Teenagers have been one of the subset that social media has had a devastating effect. You understand? And this is my question. What if at the beginning of the introduction of social media, we had put safety nets in place? For example, you know, in some countries today, I think in Australia, you can no longer access social media except you are above 16. What if that was put in place at the beginning?
Why did we
have to wait until the consequences before we put those things? So it's the same thing. We are aware of some of the consequences of AI. Why don't we put in place the safety net and structures before
instead of waiting till that future comes, things have happened.
Exactly. So that's really what I want to focus on in this second series of the podcast.
Interesting. So you talked about, when you're talking about social media and how it has affected mental health and, you know, everything generally. So let's look at mental health and, you know, general well-being. Do you think artificial intelligence will contribute to increased stress, you know, job insecurity, or even improve work-life balance?
Increased stress, 100% guaranteed. It's going to cause disruption and usher us into an unprecedented. You see, the mind does not like disruption. So when you live in an area of disruption, it means that the probability
already
of increased stress is higher. So
that's true.
For me, it's guaranteed. That's one. Another way of looking at it is that AI is an amplifier. That's what it is. It will just amplify what's on ground. That's what it is. It would amplify. And let's
How do
look,
you mean?
You know, AI makes, it would make you do what's on ground better. It's what you feed into it that it would work on. So if currently, if mental health is a concern now, it will just make mental health worse.
Yeah.
That's what it would do. It will make it worse. So let's look at the state of mental health now, just to understand. What I'm going to share was as at 2019, it might be worse now. One out of every 8 people living on planet Earth had experienced mental health issues. Let's look at some of the causes of mental health. Poverty and income inequality. Would AI worsen income inequality?
Definitely.
Yes. Urbanization and social isolation. Will AI worsen social isolation?
Definitely.
Migration and displacement. Well, let's assume that it doesn't affect that. Social media and digital addiction. Would AI worsen that?
No brainer. Yes.
Screen time and sedentary lifestyle. Will AI worsen that?
Definitely.
Online harassment and cyberbullying. You just basically, so if you look at all the trigger points of mental health issues right now, you find out that AI would just worsen, would amplify those trigger points. So that's my point. So when you layer on top of these issues AI, you can tell that it will not get better except decisions and structures are put in place. Now, I'm going to play an excerpt from the interview with Danny Johnson. just to highlight this fact.
Okay.
So I'll tell you my greatest fear with AI, with generative AI in general. I think there are three things that are, for me, I'm concerned about. One is the fact that AI would further exacerbate the gap between the rich and the poor. It would facilitate transfer of wealth from the middle class and the poor to the already rich. That's one. Two is the bias issue, because a lot of the data that's been used to train ChatGPT and the other gen tools are basically from a specific part of the world. So it means that AI is biased. And three, for me, is the fact that with social media, the issue has always been attention. So social media, whether it's but with AI, we are moving into intimacy where non-humans will develop intimacy with humans. I really don't know what sort of humans we will be when the intimacy we have are with non-humans. So I think for me, it's made me cautiously optimistic, because we will be going to territories that we have never gone before, you know. So that's really, for me, it's a source of concern.
Yeah. So I will latch on to the third point that I raised, which is humans will develop intimacy with non-humans.
Hmm.
This is an unprecedented territory we are going into.
Hmm.
What sort of mental issues would that raise? I have no idea. We're already experiencing issues with social media. Social media rides on attention. You understand?
Yeah.
And we know the consequences. We're talking about humans developing intimate relationships with non-humans. You understand?
That's
so
concerning.
It's concerning. You understand? It's concerning. What safeguard would we have in place? I don't know how many people are discussing about that. Nobody. You understand? But these are issues that will affect us as a society. So on one hand, we can be more productive, increase GDP, you understand?
Mm.
Increase trade. But on the other hand, as humans, we are becoming almost subhumans, if I can use that term.
Yes.
We are becoming
dysfunctional.
Those are my concerns.
Mm. Okay, before we get too emotional, you talked about the widening income inequality due to AI. So could the integration of AI widen the gap between, you know, different economic classes or regions?
Again, I think it was in part one. Lalo even mentioned this. I think even in this episode, we heard Dan Johnson also talk about it, and I also talked about it. Again, it's given. What I will try and do is just highlight some of the reasons why the adoption of AI would worsen the income inequality. And income inequality is a serious issue. As a society, as the world is actually becoming more prosperous, it is. We are becoming more prosperous. But that prosperity is increasingly being retained only by a little segment of the society.
True.
And that's concerning. AI would worsen that. Again, like I said, AI is an amplifier. It will just worsen what's on ground.
Yeah.
So let's look at some of the things that are on ground so that you understand. And I saw this information and I found it very interesting. It said that in the US, the typical Fortune 500 CEO, as at January 2nd, had already made more money than the average worker will make for the rest of the year.
Wow. 2nd of January.
Yes.
Second day of the year.
So what the average CEO makes in two days is more than what the average worker will make
in the entire year. Wow.
2022, the average CEO in the US was paid 344 times as much as the typical worker. in 1965, they were paid 21 times more. That's based on information published by the Economic Public Institute. You see that it's getting worse.
Yes, it gets worse. It's true.
1965, so the average CEO was paid 21 times. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, 344 times.
So in 5-10 years, like 700 and...
Yeah. According to Oxfam, the richest 1% have more wealth than 95% of the world population put together.
Wow.
As of today, the global north, meaning the Europe, America, they drain the south of commodities worth $2.2 trillion on a yearly basis. So that's what's on ground right now. So that's why income inequality is already happening. Yeah. And some people are shouting about this. And there's somebody, an American who, and I'm going to read some of what he said. You understand? On why we should address this issue. And this is what he said. His name is Scott Galloway. He said, income inequality is usually self-correcting.
Okay.
But the bad news is that it happens by war, famine, or revolution. So if governments do not do something about the income inequality, citizens will do something. And
revolts.
It is not something that we want to experience, because you cannot keep having a class of people getting rich and richer and richer, and the majority of the people are getting poorer. And I'll give you this: during the 4 years of Biden's administration, the U.S. economy defied a lot of what happened in other economies. It was growing. You know, because post-COVID, a lot of the top economies didn't grow, but the U.S. economy grew. Okay. However, that growth, that increase was captured by only a few people. So most of Americans did not experience that growth. And the key reason Biden lost was economical. Because prices were going up, inflation was increasing, money in the pocket was dwindling. People were worse off, despite the fact that as a country, the U.S. was more prosperous. That is what happened in the U.S. So, now let's come back to AI. Why AI would worsen this? Remember, we would have job displacement.
Yeah.
If there are job displacement, which segment do you think it would affect first and the most?
The people.
The people at the bottom.
The masses, exactly. Yes.
The people at the bottom. People who already have less. The people who have more will find a way of surviving.
Yeah.
So displacement will happen more at the bottom. That's one. You also have to understand the issue of wealth concentration. Today, the people who will benefit most from adoption of AI are people who already have capital. Yeah. People who have the capital and people who have the intellectual property to benefit from the growth of AI. Now, so if AI becomes a tool of productivity, it means that for every production output anywhere in the world, you have to pay the person that owns the license.
Who's already a rich person. Yes.
So as the world becomes more prosperous, most of the increase will basically just flow
back to...
So you understand why Sam Altman was talking about the issue of universal basic income. Again, it was a way for this issue to be addressed so that there could be redistribution of the wealth, increase back to majority of the people. This is, for me, is an issue of concern.
I see why it's an issue of concern for you. Very true.
Okay. So I'm going to round up with something Sam Altman said. And this is what he said. He said, the future will be coming to us in a way that is impossible to ignore. And the long-term changes to our society and economy will be huge. Among the changes could be the balance of power between capital and labor. And according to Mr. Altman, this could further worsen wealth inequality. So it's not even because you heard me. I'm quoting Sam Altman. He accepts that this is a concern that should be addressed.
This is. I see why the UBI, the Universal Basic, because truly, instead of this same people acquiring and keeping, that's the money, the wealth is spread across the people. Okay, so we have a major problem on our hand.
Huge problem. And people are not aware.
Mm. Now that we're already talking about governance and, you know, nations and everything, what's the future of democracy, of the rule of law, of governance in a world that is dominated by AI?
Let's look at some of the foundations of good governance, democracy, rule of law. Okay. Free and fair elections, freedom of speech and expression, rights to privacy, equality and non-discrimination, participatory governance, transparency and accountability. These are some of the things that make up the foundation of governance. So for each of these, let's just look at how AI can impact, and you understand why, you understand the most likely impact and consequence of AI on governance and democracy. So let's take free and fair election. You know, you can have AI-powered disinformation campaigns, and it has happened in the US and other countries. You understand? That is a negative consequence on good governance.
Yes.
Freedom of speech and expression, you can have AI-driven censorship, hate speech, you understand?
Yeah.
Right to privacy, you could have AI surveillance, you could have data collection, profiling.
Yeah.
You see, if you take each of these foundational pillars of good governance and you look at what AI can do to it, you just realize that democracy, rule of law, governance has the probability of becoming weaker in an AI environment, except something is done to mitigate those consequences. That's the reality. And I'll use an example so that you understand.
Okay.
Twitter, or X as you call it, today 20 to 30% of the tweets are bot generated. So bots are like computer programs people have written. So that they are not humans. Computer programs people have written that generate tweets or comments. So it means 30% of what you read on Twitter, they are not from humans. So imagine if there's an opinion. You see how you can use AI to
manipulate
the information and the impression and perception.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, what you get out of that engagement is a biased engagement, because you've been engaging with
bots,
not humans, but you assume that they are humans.
Mm. So and definitely that would affect.
Exactly. The perception, the view, what you think is right, what you think is not right. Because that thing that you're interacting with is not a human, it's a bot posing as a human, spreading misinformation, giving people views that are not true, and people
believe.
You understand? So if it's a democracy where people vote, you can color people's vote by using AI to spread wrong information, and it's going to get worse. Except, like I said, structures are put in place to address these issues. And this is about the best time you can do that now.
And the painful thing is, we're not seeing it.
Nobody's talking about it.
That it would affect every single thing, every industry, even the government. Because now, as you're explaining, I'm actually seeing how it does affect.
Again, don't take my word for it. Let's Sam Altman.
Okay.
Remember, this is what Sam Altman said. He said, advanced AI could increasingly be used by authoritarian governments to control their population through mass surveillance and loss of autonomy. Sam Altman. It possesses a threat to democracy, rule of law. Why? It enables mass disinformation. It automates bias-driven decision-making. and it can concentrate power in the hands of those who control its development and deployment. So today, Elon Musk retweets a lot of lies and wrong information on Twitter, and people believe those things are not. But he owns Twitter, he owns X. You understand? Because he's the owner, he does things with it that other people cannot, and people believe because he's the one spreading that information. So it's a concern, just as it's a concern regarding mental health, income inequality. So while we understand that, these issues, you understand, can be seen from an individual point of view, but the whole point is that at the end of the day,
we are
a subset of a society that affects the entire society. And I would round up with this. I think governments across the world have to take this serious. Yes, we can benefit from AI. Lovely. Increased trade, increased productivity, increased, better solutions in health, energy. Lovely. But what about the impact on the individual and on the society? Who's talking about that? Those are my concerns.
Very thought-provoking. And I'm hopeful that, someone in the government will listen to this and then, push a notion, that would begin something that would change our lives. Because truly, like you said, the government cannot leave AI and everything that has to do with it to private companies. Yes, the private sector. Because it would definitely affect every sector, including democracy. So it's very, very important that something is done now to prevent the defensive approach that, we might eventually take when things happen. Thank you so much for this part, for, not just explaining in the first part how it affects individual, but mental health, governance, and the society at large. For context, if you just listen to this second part, please, you can go back to listen to the first part. This particular episode is in two parts, AI and the future of work. This is the second part, so you can listen to the first part to understand and have a bit of, a better context to what we're talking about here. Thank you so much, Aziz.
Thank you. I will end with this, and I'll, reference what I said at the beginning.
Okay.
A lot of what I said today, they're not my initial views. My thought on this evolves.
Over three years,
it evolved. And I realized that a lot of the information easily accessible out there on AI, there is more to that. It will require the individual, the private sector, and government in ensuring that we get the best out of AI. And not like what happened with social media. Years after devastating consequences, we now try to put safety measures in place. The best is to put those measures in place now as AI is expanding.
What I'm also hearing as a summary from what you just said is, let us collaboratively put AI in its place as a tool.
Yeah.
By creating those measures rather than just let it take control and then we're like running after it to guard whatever is left of our lives. That's very, very important. Thank you very much for that. We also would like to thank again Olaoluwa Jose and Danny Johnson for taking our time to, share from your wealth of knowledge on your perspective about AI. As always, this podcast is edited and the sound is produced by Joshua Praise. The soundtrack is an original from Jasto Christos album and the poster is designed by Faith Folari and Joseph Okafor. Please continue to share. Drop comments. If you have questions, you can drop them in the comment section. I'm sure Aziz and the team will be available to answer you.
Yeah.
Share this with, individuals, your friends, HR practitioners, CEOs, even if you know people in government, you can share this with them. Thank you so much for tuning in and for listening. And see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.